This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What would you do if you want me? I sent a dick pic from my gallery. I used the angle of the dangle right to let my lady see that my rock soft hog's thicker than a celery. I sent the pic to please, certainly did not foresee that she was in my private pack of pic to my family. Now I'm living in a tree. What would you do if you want me? I read a book. I read a book. I read a book, 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 book. I read a book about a beaver, became a beaver myself. Now I'm living in a beaver dam surrounded by elves. I'm saying a fucking beaver claws, sleeping with the fishes, cause I really need some ad applause for doing all the dishes. Y'all better help me out today. I think my girlfriend might be gay. I ate a fucking fish fillet. I always knew there'd come a day. Dismay reigns over me. I took a lot of LSD, so help me. Please seize these cheese pieces. I'm laying down, I'm praying, yo. Don't know what I'm saying, though. And so I think it's time to go. Yo, what up, dudes? I love the show. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was planning on doing that head bobbing with a hat really low bit, no matter what the song was.
But that one really fit.
Yeah. It fit really well.
You were like sort of a boxer slash freestyle rapper waiting for his like turn to like hop in.
Yeah. It's like a producer that was happy with the rapper that was spitting verses on my track.
Exactly. But since you're a rapper, like you can't show joy in a like nice normal way. You just have to be sort of like angry but into it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Jay-Z's never like, this is great. Keep it up.
Oh shit. Nice, dude.
Marshall. That was awesome, dude. That was awesome. All right,
running in to shake his hand. Oh, put her there, Marshall. Oh my God.
How did you do the hi, my name is thing? Like, did that just, was that natural? Like, holy shit, dude.
I think I have something silly to say. Let's keep it looping.
My name is also what or ho or whatever the fuck. Holy shit.
That was incredible.
That's probably the hardest part about being a rapper is that you can never like laugh or smile very much.
Stifling your joy, for sure.
You have to be hard.
Yeah, exactly.
And it must be hard to be hard.
It's hard to be hard. It's
I'm
hard
serious.
To be hard.
Yeah. I'd rather be soft, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of being absolutely flaccid, Alex Gerges wrote this.
Nice, Gerges.
He's a web and graphic designer, and he has a website called lxgwiz.com where I sell a course. He sells a course to show people how to do web and graphic design for their business so they don't need to hire schmucks like me. Wow.
Okay.
Move he's over, monetizing.
Squarespace. We have a guy.
Yeah, he's sort of monetizing getting rid of his own job, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, smart.
I saw some guy on Twitter recently asked one of those AI chatbots to program a snake game. And the program just sort of spit out code for a snake game.
Right. So it probably like stole a code from somewhere for the snake game, right?
Well, the theory is that it came up with it or with artificial intelligence.
But it doesn't. I mean, the only way it has artificial intelligence is by like ripping everything from the internet, which would have like algorithms for that, right?
I don't know. Because then he's like, all right, this is a good start, but make it look like it's on a Nokia phone. And then it like spit out a design for that too.
Interesting.
You're becoming useless.
Well,
you are
from of my
without
from, I'm
use.
Becoming What do you mean?
Like everything my job of programming phone games? Can be instantly and cheaply, borderline freely replaced at the drop of a click.
Fine.
As in, that was easy. Bye.
Yeah. I don't know if it could host improv podcast.
Gone.
I don't think it knows comedic timing.
Really?
I don't know. I don't think.
Shit.
But like, you seem to think that I'm a programmer. So
I'm sorry. I overplayed my hand, I guess. Damn. So it doesn't do like funny shit or timing stuff?
Actually, it did spit out a pretty funny Jake and Amir one time.
Really?
Yeah.
March Madness 9 was half written by a robot.
Yeah, God, that'd be sick.
Maybe he came up just with ask it for
concepts. It's so funny watching those. Now I'm giving notes on those in the office and just laughing throughout these videos. And then like I watch the outtakes and there I am laughing as you do with Gonzaga. It's like, yeah.
I guess I still find it funny.
I still love it.
Shout out to the HeadGum YouTube channel where you can watch new Jake and Amir's about once a month.
Yes. That's correct. And our old YouTube channel where you can watch them a month after they come out.
That's right. So we're on two different YouTube channels if you think about it.
Yeah.
Three if you count a few of the stolen ones like Jake and Amir Archives where they like find old videos that we deleted.
Yeah. That's my favorite one. it's only the SpawnCon and the old videos that were only on Vimeo. That's the good shit.
Somebody recently posted the one where you and Dan are trying to go by each other and then you guys kiss. Remember that one?
Yeah. And then I believe Dan sings 525,600 minutes.
Yeah.
From Rent.
Yeah. And we just put that online. Ooh, hello.
Somebody's at my house.
It's Dan. That's us. He's delivering a cease and desist. That was so fast. There's no way he could have heard it. Do you have a video doorbell? Can you see who it is?
Yes, I can.
What are we looking at?
Well, let's take a little gander.
Put it on the stream. We're recording this. People can watch it. Let's just see a live peer into who's at the door.
I wouldn't want to.
It's two guys with president masks on and AR-15s.
Oh, I know who it is.
Who?
Yeah. It's someone dropping off a some fabric for Jill to look at for curtains. So yeah. But they are wearing a clown mask and they do have a knife, but I just know that they're here to drop off a sample.
We're here with the duffel bags filled with fabric. Yeah. We have the slump cotton basket weave that you requested. The performance
Take off your
limit.
Mask. Oh, sorry. I don't know why I was wearing that. I think I came from a kid's birthday party and I forgot to take it off. It's a side gig.
And these,
you know,
giant shears are actually for cutting the squares of linen perfectly.
Now you guys needed blackout curtains, right? Sorry about the whole terrifying you thing.
All this duct tape is so I can get a good seal on the window to get a true blackout.
All right, this is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake. Were we talking about something when my doorbell went off? Weren't we? Oh, that video.
Oh yeah, the fact that we're on YouTube now.
Right. Full circle.
Full circle. 18 years later.
Jesus.
What?
I don't think that's true.
Really?
I don't know. I hope it's not.
Okay. These are, as always, real questions from real people. Gonna give them fake names to preserve their anonymity. How about a fake name for this lady who's mad at her husband for being obsessed with someone thing?
Peg Bundy, always mad at her husband.
That's right. Peggy writes, my husband is obsessed with his volunteer firefighter training and it's making me insane. He eats, sleeps, and breathes fire fighting. It's all he talks about ever. Even just now when he was playing with our daughter, he got up and decided to wear his fire jacket. And when I asked why he put it on, he said, why not? He asked me every evening if I wanted him to teach me how to tie a safety knot, and I always say no. All he can think to talk about is stories from training. I need to spend time with someone who's not a firefighter. At this point, if I'm ever in a burning building, I'll run away from them. Sometimes he practices knots by lassoing the baby's toys around their necks. Last night, I walked into the dining room, and my husband had a firefighting stuff all over the dining room to air out because it was sweaty. He also hung his cloth part of his helmet thingy to the ceiling fan. Please help. How do I communicate that this is his thing, but I don't want him to take over my lifeline?
Yeah. I feel like there are some things in that list that you can take umbrage at, and some things that are just, you know, he's passionate about something, and I think it's nice to be a supportive partner. So, like,
yeah.
Talking about volunteer firefighting during dinner and showing you knots, that seems like it's, you know, you can entertain that. Him lashing toys onto your children, that's something where you could say, you know, you with this, the answer is pick your battles. Mm. You can't, in good faith, go to him and be like, you need to shut up about volunteer firefighting, because it's a noble thing and it's good to be passionate about.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying because it's a really good obsession. On a scale of what you can be obsessed mm-hmm. over, what you can have an obsession about, volunteer firefighting is probably in the top 3% of nobility.
Yeah. He could be like really into a firefighting video game, and he could still have the sweaty clothes and want to practice knots and talk about them all the time. So like you have a good problem. I acknowledge that it's annoying and that it's still a problem, because sometimes when people are obsessed about something, they don't really have a filter and they can talk about it too much.
Yeah.
So I think you can draw the line. I think you can say you need to keep your firefighting stuff out of the living room and dining room, and you can't hang stuff on the fan. But I will talk to you about it if you want to chat firefighting. And if you get up while you're playing with a daughter and put on a firefighting jacket, that's fine, because you're just happy to have a jacket. And I like that for you.
And if you're lassoing a Barbie doll, maybe that's kind of one of the things.
Maybe that's, maybe
that
that's, we
say
don't.
No to.
Yeah. Maybe that's, I mean, we don't.
Do firefighters have to be like jacked and have perfect vision, or am I thinking of something else?
I don't think that, I mean, I don't think volunteer firefighters do. You have to pass a test. You have to pass a test.
It's like a fitness test.
Regardless.
Right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you have to be jacked, but you have to be able to do everything that a firefighter is, you know, required to do. And I don't think you need to have perfect vision, but I think if you don't, you'd have to wear glasses or contacts.
I thought the thing was that, like, you can't wear contacts because they can get knocked off, or like you can't wear contacts because the smoke would get in the way. Or am I thinking of being an astronaut?
Let's see.
What jobs do you need perfect vision for?
It was not even an autofill. Monocular vision is likely to be disqualifying.
Mm.
That's just having a single eye, right?
Yeah, that's when you're just, you have a cyclops.
You have no depth perception.
Yeah, or a pirate patch over.
Right. Yeah.
You can't even have a parrot, right?
I don't think you're... I mean, no, that would be endangering the parrot. So you can't...
And for the peg leg, you can't go up a ladder, probably, or down that, like, pole.
You cannot be an old cat, like an old cartoon pirate and a firefighter, because that's just too funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too good.
Yeah, plus the plank would just go up in flames. Like, the whole thing wouldn't make sense.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't need perfect vision? Is that what you're seeing?
It didn't appear. It didn't come up in my really brief search.
Okay. I was just wondering if I could be a volunteer firefighter if I wanted to.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, your vision isn't a liability at all anymore. You have the LASIK.
Yeah.
You're not plus I'm strong, but you're
fairly good at it. Tennis, and I can, I don't know. I'm kind of afraid of fire, though.
Yeah, you don't have bravery, which is one thing that I think it takes. Like,
but I don't think they could test
courage,
for that.
Grace Under Fire. I think they do. I think that's part of the, like,
they test that.
Yeah, they have like a building where they'll do like a controlled burn, and you have to like go in to that. Would you be afraid to go into a burning building?
Yeah,
like even as a or, test.
I don't know. Maybe right. I could do something like that, where I'm not like fully lying, but I'd be like, "Yes, I'm scared." Well, actually, maybe it's fine.
Right, but would you go in? Like, because it's not just like a no. yes or no
or
test.
Sure. If it's like the same shit as like the if you're sitting in emergency on an airplane and they're like, would you be willing to assist? Right. And you're like, yeah, if I get an extra 4 inches of leg room, sure, I'd be willing to assist.
Yeah.
But it's like that, but for fire. It's like, yeah, right. I get the fucking hat.
But it's not the, because it's
the jacket.
Yeah. I bet you get the jacket last. I don't think they just give the jackets out to everybody. You have to pass the test.
Really?
Yeah. This would be a fun true TV reality show that we could pitch, write the pilot for, shoot the pilot for, and ultimately have rejected and wasted 2 years of our life over. Like,
wow.
Me and you do different like occupational tests to see if we can. Because you know, I was trying to be a notary. So like, could I be a notary? Could you be a firefighter? That's episode one. That's the pilot. I become a notary and you become a firefighter.
The pilot should be us being pilots, quite frankly. And then the second episode will be us with our second episode of, I don't know, schizophrenia or some shit. And then the third. In a way, yeah. You know, dirty jobs? This is just jobs.
Yeah, yeah. There's no, it doesn't, they don't have to be dirty or trying. It's just like, could I do it? You look at any, you know what? And I think what sells now is also like the average notary makes this, notary is a side hustle. You can make an extra $40,000 a year notary. Yeah, exactly. Gig economy.
What if it's hosted by Jaleel White?
Volunteer firefighter, not quite.
Yeah. The name of the show is Can I Do That? So it's Jaleel as like the host, and he throws to like sometimes you, sometimes me, sometimes like other people, and they're seeing if we in fact.
So now
could do
it's
that.
Not even our show. Now it's Jaleel's show. It's not even our show. We're doing a cameo in the pilot.
If Jaleel and I are down to get together in a room and flesh it out, develop it, if we can look at your reel and see if you have what it takes to be on the show. But honestly,
borderline
we're looking
came
at
up
so
with it.
Jaleel and I are looking at so many people right now that it's like hard to commit to you.
You haven't
or
even
to his
gotten
friends.
In the room with Jaleel. You haven't
I
even
can get in the
reached
Zoom.
Out.
I can get.
You
I,
could get
trading.
In the Zoom. Maybe you're not trading. You haven't. You haven't even gotten his avails.
I think have you've reached a line out to Jaleel's manager. I do have a line out to him.
Yes. You have a line out to Jaleel's
and
manager.
And we're trading.
And did you share a one sheet? Did you share a one sheet?
I don't have.
I don't think you do have a one sheet.
I have a
did
log
you share
line.
A log line?
I have
you
a log line.
Line.
Yeah. Can I
let's
do
hear
that?
The log line.
Can I title,
do that? That's
can
a
I do
catchphrase.
That?
Phrase. That's not a log line. That's
legally,
not log
it's not
line.
A catchphrase because then we don't own it. But yeah, it's a similar sentence to one that he used to say on a different show. And the description of the episodes are Jaleel White pitches different jobs to his rotating cast and crew, which may include you, but may not, just because we're looking for diverse voices in
why
this.
Why am I part of the log line? My rejection is part of the log line.
It's sort of the tent pole slash load bearing pillar of the show.
Yeah.
Is that you
one of
may
the tenets
or may not.
Is that I may or may not be involved.
Exactly.
On the day.
And me and Jaleel.
Even though I came up with it. But you came up with the can I do that aspect.
Yeah.
And you're gonna reach out to his manager.
I have a line out to his manager. Do you have IMDb Pro? I was gonna ask next.
Yes. Yes, I do.
So why don't
I pay
you,
I pay $500 a year for IMDb Pro. Yes.
So why don't you be my assistant and reach out to his manager and see if he has availability, the same availabilities that I do. I'll share my calendar with you.
Fine. You share your calendar with me. I'll reach out. I'll give him a couple of veils and I'll ask for Jaleel's avails and I'll just see schedule wise if he's under contract, what position any of his projects are in, and then share the package. Log line.
Yes, and we'll package it. And see if we could package it with a reality director or a company that has a full suite of experience packaging, developing, selling IP both domestically and as bite-sized chunks internationally.
Internationally. Yes. This will be playing on Virgin Australia. This will be playing on QuantAss. Yes. Yes, Lufthansa, you better believe it is on Emirates as well. If you're sitting in first class, you have your own little cabin, you have your own little shower, you have a hot towel, and you hear, "Can I do that?"
That's a proprietary show. That's our IP.
That's our IP. And every time you hear, "Can I do that?" That sounds like ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. That's cash register noises in my ear.
Yeah.
Because I've trademarked that IP. I have copyrighted that IP, and I will be litigious about that IP. And if I hear anyone else say, "Can I do that?" I will say, "No, you can't do that because I have copyrighted that." Because
I've already done that. Well, I've been there, and I have done that. And take it down, cease, desist, pay me. On to the next.
Cease and desist before I say peace and you're deceased. Okay.
Yeah.
Not really. Not really.
And I insist or something.
Right. Exactly.
So I guess you can tell him not to hang his clothes in the living room, but ultimately you don't want to poo-poo his passion, yuck his yum, and say extinguish his fire, really. You don't want to do what he's trying
to do.
Right. Now,
I think so. I think so. But you can draw the line somewhere so it can be a little less in your face.
Bingo.
And on your fame.
Bingo bongo. All right, let's take a break. Thanks to the sponsors. Come back and answer more questions.
Okay.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five.
Yeah. And it's to stay subscribed to this feed.
Okay.
That this podcast is on. Okay. Don't unsubscribe from If I Were You, even though, do you want to tell them?
Basically, the next four episodes, not including this one, the next four will be our last.
Right.
That's this correct. One, fifth to last. Fourth to last, third to last, second to last, and then last episode at the end of April.
Right.
And If I Were You, it's over.
Let's go ahead and say penultimate instead of second to last.
Okay.
So penultimate episode.
Yes.
Do you want to, yeah, do that again?
So fifth, fourth, nice. Uh-huh. Penultimate.
Really?
Penultimate.
Yeah.
Ultimate.
Yeah, then ending. The ultimate.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Yeah.
So four more episodes after this one, and If I Were You, as we know it, gone. But, you know, we're not going to delete old episodes. Anybody can listen to those to their heart's content.
Right. They'll be here. They'll be here for you. But new episodes will not be.
Yeah. Two big things coming together. One, it's our 10-year, basically, like, this is that was exactly 10 years, which is May of 2013 to the end of April of 2023. So that felt like a right, just timing-wise.
Yeah. Right.
And it was also kind of a coincidence because it also lines up with your paternity leave.
Yeah. That's just about when Jill's going to have the baby. So I'm going to need to take some time off anyway. And
right. So those two things came together and we said, why don't we call it there for...
Right.
If that's a wrap.
Quit,
that's a
quit part, while we're that's ahead, a, not so much.
That's a picture like, wrap. Quit, yeah.
Yeah. Quit 5 years after we should have, essentially.
Yes, exactly. Just like the Jake and Amir thing. It's like you peak, right. Then you ride the crest down all the way to what is can only be referred to as a crash landing.
Right. Rock bottom. Jumping exactly. The shark, as they say.
Actually, there's a lot of like similarities between Jake and Amir and If I Were You. It's like the 10-year thing starting early, you know, increasing in popularity and then finishing after 10 or so years. And then we started If I Were You, did that for 10 or so years, calling it there.
We basically do everything for 10 years.
Yeah.
Was Jake and Amir about 10 years? Yeah, it was not quite 10 years.
2007 to like 2016 or something like that. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Right. Ish. So yeah, we're decade. We do things for a decade. So we have to figure out what the next thing we're going to do for a decade is.
That's the bigger issue.
And that's what we said.
We didn't like when Jake and Amir started, we had the podcast. When the podcast is ending, we don't know what that third thing is.
We always step across ships onto the next thing.
Lifeboats.
But yeah, this time we actually have no idea. So we're just going to end this show and see what's next when it comes to us.
Yeah.
And it could be a podcast. It could be something else. I guess it could be anything. Do you have any ideas?
I'm hoping your infant daughter on the day would have some insight.
Yeah. Her first words really early, the day she's born, will be career advice for us.
You guys should do some sponsored branding company. So you guys are like marketing executives.
A cash crab. My daughter starts smoking a cigar. Her dream is to be a marketing exec.
Remember when we tried that like 9 years ago? We're like, why don't we just start an advertising company? Like we can come up with brand. Like we did so much branded sponsored content. You're like, this is all awful. We should just do our own and write stuff for other people and occasionally start it ourselves. I think that was a good idea. Why did we sort of give up / never succeed at that?
I remember it well. We got pretty far and I was very excited about it. We were basically going to just start you and I were going to start a production company. We were going to make our own videos and then also have like a sales guy that was selling sponsored content, and we were partnering with this was pre-Marty, So we were partnering with the head of sales at College Humor, like one of the previous head of sales.
Yeah.
And
I guess HeadGum was like a light version of that when we started it. We're like, yeah, okay, instead of just ads, let's do podcasting.
Right. But this was like 2 or 3 years before HeadGum.
Yeah.
Where we were like thinking about doing it. And I think what ended up happening was our lawyer and manager were very protective of everything we did, and they didn't want us to like split anything with a new partner. Mm. So they kind of just gummed it up. and we're trying to convince us. Yeah. And trying to convince us to do TV stuff.
Yeah.
Which worked out perfect.
I mean, we have to figure out like, one, is it like going to just be a hard pivot? Like we build a house like we talked about. Is it going to be like just another podcast, which is fine, but maybe a breath of fresh air?
Yeah, that's the question. And we're having the brainstorm live right now. We were also pulling back the curtain super far. Didn't even know if we were going to announce it. That it's going to end.
Should we just end it one episode? Like basically have this conversation and be like, yeah, so anyway, the podcast is over.
Right, which would have been really funny, but I think a little too jarring. Now we have three episodes, or two episodes, then the penultimate, then the ultimate, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want people to expect a grand finale where it's like, now every guest we've ever had comes on and we have this song and dance and like this big finale, which we don't really have planned either.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone should know that we have nothing planned, including what we're doing next. I mean, it does feel like Jake and Amir's video, If I Were You is audio. I like the idea of changing the medium or the format or something.
Right.
But
still, we should say we're still making videos. Like the Jake and Amir videos are continuing on HeadGum.
Yeah. And so are the Patreon episodes, which is, 15 to 20 minutes video every single week.
Yeah. So this isn't because of a nefarious falling out or a complete stoppage in output, but rather like the timing of the 10 years thing plus a paternity leave plus the idea that perhaps this podcast, we've done it all. We've been single at the beginning. Now you're having a child at the end. It felt like a good resolution to this full life story.
Yeah. The podcast has run its course. It's been beautiful. What a ride.
Yeah.
But also I feel like podcasts are just always such a grind. It's just every single week. So it'll be kind of refreshing, even though, as we said, we're still making weekly content. But to not make this show every single week, something that we've done for a decade, will maybe free up our brain to have the brainstorm that we're trying and failing at right now.
Well, we've done like either a video or a podcast every week since, I don't know, 15, 16 years at this point.
Yeah.
So that's that'll be a jarring stop for someone that's experienced all of it.
Right. Yeah. Just not. Well, that person could subscribe to the Patreon, which will keep on going.
And that person probably already has.
Yeah. Our streak is going to stay alive because of that, which is good.
Because we need to stay alive.
Yeah. It's our livelihood. You can't just fully quit your job.
But recharging your batteries is a good idea, too.
Yeah. I think that we need a boost, a surge of creativity. I need to feel reinvigorated. I want to feel the passion that I felt for something when we started the show.
Yeah. What about live? Something live. Like we come up with like a special, like the equivalent of like a stand-up special, but we don't do stand-up.
Yeah. I would love that. That's the kind of thing that we've never been able to do because you have that weekly thing that we have to put out. So like, when are we ever going to, spend... I feel like every single time that we hang out, we're like, oh, we could spend time writing or developing this thing, or we can bang out 8 podcasts like we have to.
Yeah.
So that's been the trade-off. But now we have no excuse. Now we'll
literally
see if we actually... Yeah, now we'll see if we can actually do it. All the distractions are put away.
Well, you'll have to sort of keep an infant alive for 3 to 6 months. But I really have no excuses.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the live thing. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. That's a kind of what Conan did. Again. Like he finished his TV show and then he did like that tour.
Yeah.
So to see us, maybe we're thinking about this all wrong. Maybe we should just go completely fucking dark. You can only see us live. So like
that's kinda
you've
sick.
Had access to us. But that's kind of dangerous too, because then everybody might forget about us. Like,
right.
Yeah.
We still do a weekly show in Boise.
Yeah.
Everyone can come out here.
Yeah. We should do like public television, public access TV or something.
That's kind of cool too.
Broadway musical.
Yeah. That's my shit.
We do a full-on American Idiot style jukebox musical for an album we haven't even written yet.
A Fade on Shuffle album.
We write an album, then the musical is just that album.
Right. So we write the album. We have chatbot string together, you know, the interludes between songs.
Mm-hmm.
Which we is make easy, a teleplay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What's our Mamma Mia?
I don't hate a musical for us because we like music.
Yeah.
Do you remember you came up with a Pixar movie at one point? Garage the movie or House the movie?
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, Garage the musical. Is there anything there?
Is there a there? At the very least, I think that we should write a musical. That's where I'm putting my bet.
Okay, musical is good. I could definitely write lyrics. I'm just, the hard part is the songs, like the actual music for me. I don't know how to do that part,
yeah.
Which is like kind of crazy because I feel like you look at me and I'm like a savant. Like,
right.
I'm sure he knows how to like come up with something like Book of Mormon meets Hamilton. That's just as funny as fucking, I don't know, Seinfeld. But Jesus. For whatever reason, there's like not that musical ability anymore.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I lost that.
Did you say anymore? Like you used to be a musician?
Yeah, sort of like...
You said anymore. Like
I used to be like this virtuoso Bo Burnham meets Dimitri Martin guy.
I was a prodigy. I was a Beethoven.
I was Doogie Howser meets Sam Howser, who's a small forward for the Celtics. Like, literally, Swiss Army Knife, I could do it.
That's what you're a savant at, by the way.
Just that's coming up with puns.
Just, yeah. No, naming basketball players.
That could be it. That's the fucking show.
That's our new show. That's our
it's
new
a
show.
Live
we just
podcast.
Say different basketball. It's buckets. It's just buckets. It's buckets, but I'm a host now.
It's buckets, but a lot of more people are listening for some reason.
Yeah.
But our fans love basketball now. Anyway, let us know. I'm sure you guys are listening.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do?
What do you want to see next?
If you're still listening now, like it's been 10 years, like you're the super fans. You guys are the lifeblood. You tell us what you'd want to listen to next. All those guys that stopped listening 3, 4, 12, 18 years ago, they're casuals. We don't fucking care/respect their opinion. They're a zero to us. They're nothing burgers. And we want something fries. And that's what we want. Thank you. I would say it should be a metaverse thing, but that entire thing is crumbling too. We can't attach our thing to a fad. It has to be more mainstay.
No,
appeal than that.
See, this is why I like the theater. I want it to be tactile. I want it to be visceral. I want to have more of an experience. I definitely don't want to sit on Zoom anymore. No offense.
You want to like basically completely zag from the pandemic where it's like now we're all getting together performing, breathing the same air for the first time in years.
Yeah. I basically, for me, my idea is that you move back to New York City. We write a musical and we live on Broadway. What do you think
about
that?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, if we can write our own Book of Mormon where we're sort of the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern side characters, not even the main stars, because we can't, like, that's too much talent and effort. We're not singers and dancers. But, like,
you'd have to be, you know what? We would be, like, the narrators. Like,
oh, that's good. Or the King George. Like, he comes out and then leaves, and then the rest of the.
Yes, exactly.
In Hamilton.
Exactly. Right. So it's a pop punk musical where you and I are playing our old selves, our current selves. Retelling the story of something that happened to us in high school. So then there's young, talented, like young 20s somethings kids playing high school us.
Okay. So we're like uncles, regaling our nibblings, which is nephews and nieces, a story about what life was like in the late 90s. Let me tell you something. Yes. Life in the late 90s wasn't exactly what you guys think it was. Kind of like we're talking about the 40s.
Right. Or, you know, we could be getting a drink for the first time after a really bad falling out in high school. And that's the, and then it's all told through flashbacks of song and dance. That's so we never have to do anything, but we would, we are the central characters.
You're right. Exactly. But a younger version of us.
Right. Exactly. And then every once in a while, it's old us sitting at a bar.
Which we can just talk. That's fine. That's easy.
Easy. Yeah, exactly. I could do that 8 times a week for a year.
Yeah, well, what about your child? Will they? That's fine.
Yeah, it's just they'd be fine because it's only 8 times a week, but like from 4:30 to 8. So
yeah, that's sort of like...
ultimately the timing is actually not that bad.
Yeah, because you'll put them down around 6 or 7 every night, but you won't be there for that.
I won't watch them grow.
I'll miss their first steps because you didn't want the understudy to carry the weight on a Tuesday matinee one time.
Right. Yeah, I guess, well, it's probably ambitious to say that we'll get right to Broadway. We should just do a really limited run and maybe tour it around the country.
Oh, that's cool. A black box theater. Sort of indie style. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
off Broadway.
Right.
All right. I feel like we're 8% of the way there. Now we just have to write single song and come up with a story.
Shouldn't be that hard. Should be pretty. I mean, yeah, they'll come to us.
Or there's something completely separate that we should be doing. So let us know if you have an idea.
Yeah, please, let us know.
Please do. All right. But the show isn't over yet. We still have a few more questions and answers today, and then 4 more episodes after that.
Love it.
Okay, let's take a break, come back, and answer some more cues after these messages.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Yes.
Should we just call it here? Like, just phone it in? Now that I think about it.
Yeah, let's do the senior slide, but for the podcast.
That's cool.
Rest on our laurels, as it were.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's another good reason we're stopping the show. I feel like we've answered every possible question known to man, but I guess there are a few left over that we haven't addressed yet.
I think we've answered them many times over. Frankly, but
I found a unique one.
Whoa.
We'll call this lady. Who's a lady from Sesame Street? Is there a lady Big Bird? Is Big Bird a woman?
I truly do not know.
A female Sesame Street character.
Are all of the puppets dudes? I'm trying to remember because I've seen Cookie Monster's cock on Sesame Street. He had a dick slip one time. Oh, Miss Piggy. That's clearly a woman.
I thought she was more of a Muppet than a Sesame, but all right, I'll allow it.
Isn't Sesame Street Muppet? Is Big Bird not a Muppet?
Yeah. Is it all? No, I don't. Oh my God. Now I'm getting confused. Is it all
Big Bird?
Jim
isn't
Henson?
A puppet. It's all Jim Henson. Yeah.
Okay. So
there's Muppets,
I guess...
and then there's Muppet babies. Yeah, because the Muppet, Gonzo is a Muppet.
But is he on Sesame Street?
Fucking no. This is
the
new show.
Can you tell me how to get? Just tell me how to get to Muppet Baby Street. Whatever we're going with, this lady's name is Miss Piggy for sure.
Yeah.
And it looks like Big Bird is not a big, big bird gender. She's absolutely male. Wow. Big Bird is 8'2", bright, tall, yellow, anthropomorphic male bird.
Whoa.
I don't know what to think. Okay. So Miss Piggy.
It's a Big Bird. All right.
Today I finally found myself in a predicament that I hope you can help me with. I live next to an apartment complex, and for the past week, someone has been throwing their garbage over my fence. It's a multi-building apartment complex that surrounds the backside and right of my house. The apartment's dumpster is near the back corner of my backyard, so sometimes if somebody is overzealous in throwing it, it could land in my yard. But this person looks like they live in one of the apartment buildings to the right side because most of the time the trash is thrown out there. I suppose it's too far a walk and this is close enough for him. The worst part is the trash bags aren't tied and whatever food the guy ate is all strewn about on my grass. It's disgusting. Anyway, I called the apartment management and they said they'll put a notice out, but they don't think it'll help. Whenever I pick up the trash, I sift through it to see if there is a name or any clue about who this person is. But alas, I haven't found anything. I finally put up a motion detection camera to catch the person in the act. But just now, I heard something hit my bedroom window, and I look outside, and it's a box of Capri Sun and a family bag of Doritos. I checked the camera, and it didn't take any motion. He's like a ninja or something. I'm upset, and I don't know what else to do. Please help. Love, Miss Piggy.
Wow.
See, this is a new one. This is unique.
Yeah. The building really should step up. That's... I mean, I guess she has no idea who it is. If she knew who it was, then the building could actually do something.
That's right. But they don't know.
Wow.
Garbage in your backyard. Can't you just lay in the backyard until someone throws garbage on you and then you go, hey, I'm sleeping here. See if it like scares the person.
That's true. So far, I think that's the best answer because, yeah.
Or you can Ferris Bueller style rig something that just says, hey, I'm sleeping here every like 8 minutes and hope that he throws his trash out in that time frame.
I mean, I think there's also a camera that you can pay for that will do a continuous record,
loop.
You know,
yeah.
Rather than only get triggered by the motion because, I think that's like too fast. It won't like necessarily start recording. So that's what you'd have to do. You'd have to like invest in an actual security camera.
Even if it's a dummy camera, sometimes people are afraid. You can fashion like a fucking broken ring camera that faces the backyard.
Right. Just get a sign that says smile, you're on camera. Like if you have a sign that says that, people will be like, it'll make them think twice. You are being recorded.
Yeah. It's like the
trash man.
Mean dog thing. There's not often a mean dog on the other side.
Yeah, right. Just a sign. That's enough deterrent. But why risk it?
Yes, exactly. Or you can occasionally, paintball style shoot someone that's walking by so that corner becomes kind of like dangerous and scary. No one will want to throw garbage over at the insane woman that lives in that house.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. That seems pretty fucked up.
Because it's illegal?
I mean, it's morally wrong, too. Not just like... I mean, yeah. Bad across the board, I'd say.
Shooting someone is fucked up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, God, we have to end the podcast if that's the advice, right? Yeah. Don't you think?
Or we can get a little more loosey-goosey with like the things we're promoting, because like... We're kind of piecing out soon enough.
I mean, we might want to come back. We want people, at the very least, we want them to come to our play opening night.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if you're at the original off-Broadway theatrical debut of 1998? It was the summer of 99 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be our generation's Grease. That's what this is going to be.
Yeah, because Grease was written in the 70s about the 50s.
About the 50s. And we're writing, in 2023, we're writing a play set in 2003.
Yeah. Well, it would. We'd probably want it to be a little earlier than that, right?
2002.
Yeah, but still after 9/11. Are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it has to be. I don't think it can be a pre 9/11 world. I think most of the punk rock that I know came out in 2003. Well, I guess when did Enema of the State come out? It can be then.
I would think 97. Like it was late 90s. I thought. You would know more than me, but it all felt very pre 9/11. Like there was no issues wrong with the world.
Oh, yeah.
So people were rapping about
1999.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. My girlfriend gets me Mexican food and
right.
That's nice. There were no issues at the time.
Okay. Fine. But I think it should be set in 2001, but summer of 2001.
August. The entire thing is leading up to 9/11 and we never address it. The year is 2001. It's August 30th, and then it takes place over 10 days, and we're out.
Yeah, just before school starts.
On Tuesday. Jesus Christ. Listen to yourself.
You started it, dude. I guess for some reason I was thinking 2003, but only because it was my senior year, but I can suspend my reality. I think
right.
2000
or you could be
is
in 10th
nice.
Grade.
Yeah, 2000. So let's say 2000.
Okay, that's cool. Y2K, Will Smith,
right?
Getting jiggy style, dancing, music videos, etc. It's all
exactly.
ripe. It's fertile ground.
Exactly right. Exactly.
And with
right. we can't make it too 90s. We can't make it early 90s Nickelodeon. It's got to be like, it's got to be that like pop punk era. It's
late 90s.
It's Mark, Tom, and Travis running around nude in What's My Age Again. That's us.
Correct. And how old were they in that song?
The lyric is, nobody likes you when you're 23.
Right.
I don't know if that's how old they were.
They must have been a little older than 23.
Okay. There's no
All
way
right.
to find out.
That's it for now. A lot of information. So you guys digest. Let us know. Mm. Hit us back. Email's still open. If you got your own questions, now's your chance. We're disappearing right. forever. Or theme songs. ifireyoushow@gmail.com.
Yeah, get them in. Get them in. There's only 4 more episodes, folks.
But as always, more Jake and Amir's on the YouTube. The HeadGum's YouTube. YouTube.com/HeadGum. More Patreon. Weekly videos on Patreon.com/JA.
Yeah. Jobs.
So we're gone, but not forgotten. And exactly. the opening theme song, of course, Alex. Remember Alex Gerges?
How could I forget?
That was a theme song. It looked like an original or something, or maybe he used a famous rap beat and rapped over it.
Right.
And he says, anyway, good day, and thank you for being a chipmunk to the people. So thank you guys, and thanks to Alex, and thanks to everyone out there who's listened to us for 9.9 years. Here's to 0.1 more, baby.
Let's go out with a bang, everybody.
See you guys next week. Ciao for now.
Bye.
What would you do if you want me? I sent a dick pic from my gallery. I used the angle of the dangle right to let my lady see that my rock soft hog's thicker than a celery. I sent a pic to please, certainly did not foresee that she was in my private pack. A pic to my family. Now I'm living in a tree. What would you do if you want me? I read a book. I read a book. I read a book, 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 book. I read a book about a beaver, became a beaver myself. Now I'm living in a beaver dam surrounded by elves. I'm saying the fucking beaver claws, sleeping with the fishes claws. I really need some ad applause for doing all the dishes, y'all. Better help me out today, I think my girlfriend might be gay. I ate a fucking fish fillet, I always knew there'd come a day. Dismay reigns over me, I took a lot of LSD. So help me, please seize these cheese pieces. I'm laying down, I'm praying, yo. Don't know what I'm saying, no. And so I think it's time to go, yo. What up, dudes, I love the show. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
That was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.